We're going to do some work with the study of angels. We're going to talk about angels and the concerns that have impact for us. Angels are God's messengers, and it's not like somebody could go and fetch you something if you needed it. And that's kind of like what angels did, but angels were in a whole different dimension to this. The Gospels, for instance, are important, and we'll be seeing some of that. In the Psalms, you're going to see a lot of stuff as we go through this study. This study is about 44, 49 pages, something like that. So we'll be doing this for a while. What I want you to do is I want you to go inside of all of this and see what you find from one week to another. And then you can share that with us if you so choose. Angels are powerful, powerful entities. Now, we have talked a little bit about this, and then I just did not do it right. That first shot we took, though we did introduce some things. We're going to correct that kind of stuff. I'm going to talk to you about some angels and some of the things that angels do. You have all through the witness of the Scripture, all the way through the New Testament to the Old Testament, you got angels everywhere. And the Psalms picture these angels as promoting and delivering God's people from harm. When you deal with angelology, you can't just go there, because the Psalms are just filled with things about angels. And you have devoted worshipers in all of this. In this thing called angels, the Psalms picture angels as protecting and delivering God's people from harm. Now, let me tell you something. When you think about an angel, we have all kind of visions that we've created, and I don't know how we got them all, but you know, angels sitting over here on a perch, and an angel sitting over here on a perch, and that kind of thing. I'm going to tell you what, there could be angels in this room right here today. Do you know that? Now, God has the right. They're His angels, by the way. He created them. He can do with His angels what He wants to do with His angels. Yes or no? It's not mine to change anything. It's mine to embrace whatever we have in the Scriptures. The Psalms picture angels protecting. So we also have the angel of the Lord that camps around those who fear Him and delivers Him. We have in the Psalms, which is a rich field for angels, by the way, Psalms 35, verses 5 and 6, may they be like the chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Now, was that Church of Christ angels? Baptist angels? Huh?
All of the above.
Angels are God's energetic and fervent servants. That's their job. In Psalm 104, praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed in splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. They're devoted here, these angels are. In Psalm 103:20, praise the Lord, you, His angels, your mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord and all of His heavenly host, You His servants who will do His will. Praise the Lord, all the works everywhere in the dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I see a passion from these angels. Do you see that? I mean, it's not like we're going to do a little something. We're going to do a lot of something here. And so these angels get involved in all of that. In Psalm 148, 2 and 3, praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all of His heavenly hosts. So you go into the Old Testament, and it presents angels as a genuine personal being who serves as a messenger and minister of God. The witness of the New Testament writers. That's where we are right here, right now. This is not back in the Psalms and all of that. This is right here in the Gospels. All four gospel writers report the existence and activity of angels. Did you know that? Matthew and Luke tell of the significant ministry of angels connected with the birth of Christ and the prediction of the announcement that is to come. Then you got Matthew chapter 1, 20 to 23. And it's going to give you some more insight. Let's see what he says. Matthew 20, 20 to 23. But after he had considered all of this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit of God. Now, was God involved in Joseph and Mary and in their life and in their marriage and all of that? Do you know angels was involved in that? Matthew chapter 12, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod's going to search for the child to kill him. You remember all of those stories, don't you? But you know who was involved heavily in this was not just people, but angels. I don't know who told me, and it's probably wrong, but there's people who said, I've seen an angel. Well, I'm not going to fuss about that. I married one. Some of y'all did. Could angels be in this room today? Do you see any? Can angels do things without you seeing them? Do you know, if we took the time, which we're not going to likely do, and go all the way through all of the angelology, would probably be grayer than we are now. Listen to this, Matthew 2:13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod's going to search for the child to kill him. Now he wants to kill this imposter, which is the Christ, as a baby. Could God have allowed them to see this baby? Could the bad people be allowed to take away this baby that had come into the world, Jesus Christ? You ever sing that song about he could have called 10,000 angels? I'm going to tell you what, you don't want to get hit by an angel. This is not some little candle light. These angels are rough. They could tear you up. And if it needs to correct something, it has the power to do it. And then God's people who embrace Jesus Christ are empowered not only by what they see in the Scriptures, they're empowered by the forces of the angels. And there are plenty of people who have said in times of difficulty, I know I should be dead, I believe I was kept alive by an angel. Now, whether you were or were you not, you would be kept alive better with an angel than you would a new car or a new truck or something like that. Luke chapter 2, 8 to 15, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. What I want you to do is keep up how many times you hear the word angel. Okay? Now, since we're going to do this for a while, you better get a good book. In 148, 2 and 3, the Old Testament presents the angels as genuine personal beings, messengers, ministers of God. If you have an angelic being and you have somebody in love with Christ over here and both of you get together, the angel has a message and you have a message. But you just don't have an angel message at that time. Listen to this. Luke 2, 8 through 15. There were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. Now hold on right here, listen to me. We know there were angels, right? But have you remembered that it's not that you just have had angels? There's different kind of angels. You got some kind of angels that have to do some correcting. And those angels could take you out any day, God said. God could wipe away this whole facility just like that if He chose. Yes or no? These angels are powerful. They're not make-believe. There were shepherds out in the fields, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were terrified. You know, everybody wants to look at an angel and say, oh, look at that cute little angel. No, you don't mess with an angel. They could whoop you 95 different ways before you could get your eyes focused good. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy. He's Christ. This will be a sign to you, and you'll find a baby wrapping clothes lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company, watch this, a great company of heavenly hosts. I wonder who that is. Well, it sure is looking like angels. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the one angel, praising God, saying, glory and God in the highest and on earth to men whom His favor is rest. Let me tell you what, if you had 10,000 angels, don't we sing a song? He could have called 10,000 angels. Let me tell you something, one angel could knock you out. The angel is dealing with the birth of Christ. Glory in the highest on earth to men whom His favor rests. The book of Acts, chapter 1, 10 to 11. Angels were present at Jesus' ascension and announced His return. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 11, after He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid Him from sight. That's when Jesus ascended. In Acts chapter 5, 19, an angel, watch this. You remember the apostles were quite often getting thrown in jail. Y'all do know that, didn't you? That a lot of the Bible characters spent a lot of their time in jail. Y'all remember that? It was about people not wanting the Christ to succeed. And in 5:19, an angel, and would be how many? One. An angel freed the apostles from prison. But during the night, the angel slips him out of there. Ooh, we got our buddy saved. But during the night, the angel of the Lord. Now, you got angels, and they got their job. And then there's the angel of the Lord. This is like having a BB gun and a cannon. You see that? You don't mess with the angel of the Lord. One angel could wipe out everybody in this room and have plenty to spare for next week. Those angels are on our side. During the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand at the temple court, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Listen to this one. Acts chapter 8, 26. An angel directed Philip to his place of ministry here. Acts 10 says, in 1-7, he was a centurion in what was called the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, in the 3 p.m, he had a vision and he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius, Cornelius! Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon. He is staying with Simon, the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel that had spoken to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told him everything had happened and sent him to Joppa. They're doing their job. But when things get more pushed, guess who comes in? The angels. Let me tell you something. Those angels are not there to be play pretties. They are there to correct that which is wrong in the world. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful to do in Shreveport, Louisiana? In Acts 12, 5-11, Peter was kept in a prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. That night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with chains, and the sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly the angel of the Lord, he didn't say just angel, angel of the Lord. This is like Alan saying, I got me a puppy, and me saying, I got me an alligator to protect me. One of them bites a lot bigger. Yeah? This is what God's doing. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in their cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick! Get up, he said, and the chains fell off. Now, who did that? Well, God did that. No, God's busy doing other stuff. Who opened the gate? The angel of the Lord, not just an angel. The one angel could wipe out this room, but the angel of the Lord, you're talking about a city or more. Do you know that you are more powerful and you are more protected because of the work of angels? God didn't promise anybody that everybody's going to get everything fixed in their life. But God is big on the rescue. He's big on that. Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains. The sentry stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared and the light shone in the cell, and the angel, this is the angel, hey, wake up. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared, the light shone in the cell, struck Peter on the side, woke him up quick. He said, "Let's chains fell off." And the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and your sandals. Wrap it cloak around you and follow me." The angel told him. Peter followed them out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. I'm going to tell you, angels are here. And angels are God's messengers, not just to go and say, "Hey, y'all fixing to have some trouble." When you get the angel of the Lord in it, this is where you put down the Volkswagen and put up the big truck. Okay? You don't mess with us. And I'm going to tell you what, I think it's pretty good stuff. A lot of people think it's hocus pocus. I don't. What does it take? God says to us, "Whatever it takes, that's what I'll do for you. Do not be afraid." I'm going to tell every one of you this too. I don't want you to be real surprised, but you're going to die. I don't know when, but I know it's coming, unless the Lord comes first. For the last thousands of years, it has not been so. But I live with a God who gives me hope. I don't deserve it, but I get to have it. And I think every one of us ought to be keenly aware that when God does something for us, He's on our side and He's looking out for us. Plus, He's teaching us with that new stuff that we have to go over here and help somebody else. And that's the way the world goes around. And the church said what? Amen. What's our song?